This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we've got a lot of intelligence in the studio because we have two guests who are going to talk about business intelligence. We have Dan Ackerman, who is the Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, who is the Senior Vice President of a company called Guidant. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning. Doing great.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having us on.
Guidant's kind of a legend in the area here. I'm just surprised. I know a couple of the founders, including Dan and a gentleman named Teddy. And great company, rapid growth. If you look at the last 6 years, they were named one of the fastest growing companies from Washington Business Journal. So I think we're bringing the Guidant guys in because they're either lucky or smart or they have an understanding of what the IT needs are for the government professionals. But before we begin, got to talk about our guests a little bit. And Dan, tell us about your background and how you wound up with Guidant, please.
Graduated college, computer science degree, business administration degree, and with that I immediately went into building military systems, so figure that one out. Moved here, consolidated from the NRO, moved to this area because my wife wanted to see seasons, and we've been here ever since, so it's been coming up on 20 years that we've lived here.
And you founded the company in 1996?
Yeah, 1996, right before the dot-com bubble. Worked a lot at PSINet. We developed a toolkit for Oracle Forms, if anyone remembers those days, but built a toolkit to rapidly develop forms, the three founders together, and we were going to be a product company.
Yeah.
Took us about 6 months to realize we're not going to be a product company and went into consulting and been there ever since.
Dan's one of the three founders. The other founders I mentioned, Teddy. I don't know if the story is at Guidant.com or not. Kind of a fascinating story how these guys got together and were kind of scratching their heads and eating ramen noodles and didn't have a whole lot the first couple of years and were kind of wondering where the money was going to come from and then figured it out and are very, very successful now. I just love those kind of stories because it's like to see someone understanding technology and applying it well. Ken, what's your background, please?
My background is I've been in professional consulting since my career started. I was at American Management Systems and then Pricewaterhouse, which became PricewaterhouseCoopers in the late 90s. I joined Guidant in 2000 and quickly learned business intelligence thereafter as a developer and then eventually as a project manager of data warehousing and business intelligence projects. And then in 2004, I was given a great opportunity by Dan and Teddy, and the third founder of starting a business intelligence practice at Guidant.
That's great. When you Google the term business intelligence, what you'll find is that there's all kinds of new studies and reports out on it. Gartner came up with a study like they always do, and it's reported in this month's PC World, I think it was January 12th. And what they say is that business intelligence is back on top of CIOs' minds. They interviewed 3,000 commercial CIOs, but I think the same thing in the federal government. I guess what's happened, Dan, maybe you can observe this with me. You know, I guess the CIOs have had the checklist, virtualization, cloud, check, security, check. Well, now they have all this data. Now what do they do with it? That's the role of business intelligence.
Yeah, it started where before you were mostly dealing with financial systems or your online transaction systems and getting the data and reporting out of that. Now you're seeing the merging of enterprise data warehousing. So from the internal standpoint, they're spending a lot of money on their infrastructure, combining these sources together into one large data warehouse so they can answer the questions that they need. But also on the flip side, you're seeing more of a push with the transparency, push to the citizens, since we're doing a lot of government work, but a push to external users and how do I get that information out to them? And so it's outward-facing instead of inward-facing.
Ken, you've been down in the weeds with a lot of these problems with business intelligence. For example, if you try to mine data at, let's say, the Department of Commerce, it has some certain constraints. But if you mine data at HHS and hospital-type medical information, all of a sudden your hands are tied. Is this one of the challenges that you guys find in dealing with federal agencies?
Sure, John. You know, a lot of the challenges you have are around data security and ensuring that only the right types of people get their hands on data, as well as integrating data from multiple agencies and getting buy-in from those agencies that your data will be integrated properly, as well as only be seen by the right types of people.
And I think, one challenge is just making sure that data is accurate. I was at a breakfast yesterday, and one of the people from Commerce said that when she started at Commerce, 25% of the data there was listed as miscellaneous. So someone like you walks into an environment like that and goes, starts pulling your hair out and says, how can I make sense of miscellaneous data? One-fourth is miscellaneous. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, and I'll give you another example. One of our clients, and I won't name the name of the client, but we were building a grants data warehouse that combined data from a number of different grant systems, and there were numerous data quality and data accuracy issues. As an example, we were aggregating data to report based upon state, and the state of Kansas had 8 different ways that the systems were abbreviating, and you know, there was KS, there was KN, there was Kansas spelled out. So there's kind of what I'll call a less sexy part of business intelligence, which is the data management aspect, where you are dealing with these data accuracy and data quality issues.
So, Dan, we just used the term data warehouse. So how would you define data warehouse and data sets, and how does that all, for a novice listening in, business intelligence, what does that mean, and what is exactly, where does data warehousing fit in with business intelligence?
Data warehousing is really more of the core of where you're storing your data to aggregate it. So you're pulling the systems, you're pulling the data from your online transaction systems, and you're putting them together. Usually, for online transaction systems, you used to, now everything's changed, but it used to be relational data sets, and then you do what you call cube data. So you're building the data so you can report on it the way that you need to report on it.
What we see happening now is some people are looking at big data, and all of a sudden it's not relational data. It's not as orderly as Ken wants it, is it?
Right. Yeah. So they refer to that as structured or non-structured data. And so there's a lot of tools that like NoSQL that are built to get to the non-structured data. So it's very similar to what Ken brought up with the state of Kansas. So you could tell it, there's 8 different ways to look at Kansas. Make sure you combine all those together and make it look like one when I'm doing this query on the data.
So there's a catchphrase I heard earlier today called content intelligence. Is that what content intelligence is?
Content intelligence is, it's been used for a couple of different terms. We're using it because we have an enterprise content management group, and there's a lot of offerings underneath that, and they decided to roll it all up under this whole concept of content intelligence, meaning that you have massive amounts of data, both structured, non-structured, paper, digital. How do you know where the value is? I equate it to, if I'm running an oil company and I have this plot of land and I need to drill oil wells, I'm not just going to sit there and start drilling them. I'm going to look at the lay of the landscape, try to do all my studies and figure out, when I drill here, I know I'm going to hit oil. So the approach to content intelligence is the same, that I'm going to look at all the data I have access to and then try to figure out where the value is and mine that data.
You know, Ken, you're a relatively young guy compared to me, but you've been experienced in the federal area for several years now. What kind of, changes have you seen taking place just in the last 5 or 6 years, in business intelligence and federal IT?
Yeah, sure. So one of the areas I've seen is a kind of digitizing of data that didn't necessarily exist a few years ago. There were a lot of paper-based processes and workflows in the government space that have now been modernized over the past few years. And that means that the data is available for reporting and ad hoc query and analysis. And an example I can give is at the EPA, where they have a pesticide process. The EPA used to receive over 1 million pieces of paper per year with regards to companies submitting applications to have their pesticides approved. Well, now that system has been modernized, so the EPA analysts can access that information, look at trends. They now have the ability to act faster to get these certifications and approvals out the door.
EPA, I think, is in Montgomery County, and they're charging 5 cents a bag for the grocery store now. Well, they're charging 5 cents per each piece of paper. I mean, millions and millions of pieces of paper. I guess that's one of the nitty-gritty aspects of just doing business intelligence. Quick question for you, Dan, and I'll let you think about it and answer it after the break. At the event I was at yesterday, one of the CIOs said that changing his system is like changing the tires of a car going 85 miles an hour. And there must be situations where Guidon is asked to come in and help derive business intelligence from systems that are inputting all kinds of data all the time and constantly changing. I think this is one challenge that many of my listeners have is okay, if we can take a picture of the data right today, that doesn't mean that that's going to help us trying to figure out what to do in 3 or 4 months. And that's got something to do with analytics. And we'll jump on that topic when we get back in a few minutes. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, Senior Vice President at Guidant.
Agencies must move 3 IT systems to the cloud by mid-2012. Email and workplace collaboration applications are among the most popular early choices, with a number of agencies already successfully moving to web-based email. Which agencies are leading the way? What can other federal employees learn from their experience? Tune in to Federal News Radio Tuesday, January 31st at noon to hear answers to these questions and learn how agencies are taking advantage of the cloud. January 31st, noon, on Federal News Radio, sponsored by Google.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
The Financial Safari Radio Show features some of the best retirement planners from across the country and is your source for a common sense approach to planning for a secure retirement in Northern Virginia. Contact the father-daughter retirement planning team of Don and Jill O'Rourke at 1-800-664-7505.
Tune in to the Financial Safari with the father-daughter team of Don and Jill O'Rourke, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. right here on 1500 WFED.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, Senior Vice President at Guidant. And before the break, I was asking Dan about business intelligence and getting information from a lot of data. And some people will say, well, this is kind of a challenge because you have constantly a constant stream of data coming in. And so how can someone like you come in and say, okay, well, here's the decision based on the data we have today, and then it changes the next 3 or 4 days? I mean, how do you handle that, Dan?
From an executive standpoint, you give them dashboards so they can see the changing data. If it's changing scope, then you're just adding on to your data warehouse. So as your data sources get change or you get additional data sources, then you keep building. But what usually happens is you start off trying to answer a couple simple questions. And then once you get answers to those questions, then you have like 10 more questions. So it's sort of like a little kid. It's inquisitive, asking why the sky is blue. It leads on to this never-ending set of questions. Business intelligence is sort of like that. So the more questions you ask, the more data you need to answer those questions.
So is business intelligence a history lesson, and then predictive analytics a separate category, separate discipline that talks about, okay, what's going to happen to this data in the next 30, 40, 60 days?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's a past, present, future kind of concept. So the past would be the equivalent of your green tab reports or your financial reports, your balance sheets, income statements, et cetera. Your present would be more of your dashboarding. I can take a look at my enterprise in one picture and tell you what's going on. And then my future is the analytics predicting based on the past events what's going to happen in the future.
Now, it would seem to me that predictive analytics may be more of an art than a science. I don't know if very many people can just say, well, here's the formula for predictive analytics. It works for everybody. I don't know any formulas like that.
Yeah, the acid test is a stock market using it?
Yeah, an acid test because they can measure it very carefully. You know, there's some people that say that 90% of the data we have collected has been collected in the last 2 years. Mobile devices, sensors, all kinds of new information coming out there. Ken, let me ask you a question. 6-7 years ago, what kind of tool sets did you use with business intelligence, and how have you seen that change over the years?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of consolidation in the business intelligence technology market. 3 or 4 years ago, in particular, SAP purchased Business Objects. IBM purchased Cognos, which were two big acquisitions of BI technologies. So now there's clearly leaders, and there still are some tier two vendors, but the market has changed and really matured over the past few years. And now what these BI technology companies are doing, or the larger companies that own the BI technologies, are going more towards appliances where they are looking at very large data volumes, both in the commercial and the government sectors, as well as using appliances to handle these types of data sets.
So it's switched a lot, huh?
Correct.
Good. Dan, from your perspective, we can look at press releases and see about new appliances. And tell me a story about maybe an agency or an organization that Guidance helped with business intelligence and maybe how they've helped them make decisions and save money.
This is one of Ken's clients. I'll let him talk a little bit about Department of Transportation.
DOT.
Sure, DOT. So at DOT, they monitor the transportation of hazardous materials. And in the past, they didn't have one way to look at the aggregation of all the different ways that hazardous materials are transported. So via rail, via air, via water, and land, and so forth. And what we were able to do is actually put a data warehouse together that integrated all of this data so that the Department of Transportation can take a look at it and better understand which companies and which facilities were having the most issues, so that they can then look at ways to reduce risk and focus on working with those organizations that had the most hazardous material incidents.
So when you're on the Beltway and you see a truck with a triangle behind it and with hazardous materials, you know, there's some method to the madness. There's someone looking at incidents and maybe types of chemicals and spills and trying to derive information based on all that driving around.
Huh? Yeah, more importantly, John, you can be assured that it's a safe transportation of hazardous materials.
Yeah, that's just transporting is one thing. Safety is important, too. You know, when you think about transporting materials and being mobile, probably that truck driver has a phone. And I think Guidance looking at taking a look at maybe some mobile technologies as far as business intelligence goes. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, you can split the mobile technology into two areas. One is simply taking what we had on our current computer systems and how do I get them to a mobile device. You'll see more and more people, executives, in particular in the government, walking around with iPads. Well, they have access to all the systems they have on their desktop now. So moving the reporting from our standpoint, moving the dashboards to their iPad is important. But the other side is really more of a game changer is, how do I take the information, usually it's like your location and using like geospatial technology, how do I make the data relevant to where they are right now? So in Ken's example, if I'm the person auditing these places, I want to be able to pull up and it knows where I am, and I can see all the companies around me that I might go and take a pop visit at.
I guess that would be a good way to define business intelligence for some of the listeners who are just general listeners is now that you have the data, how does it apply to you? Okay, so if there's a chemical spill in Oregon, how does that apply to that specific community? So you can have data that can you can intelligently make decisions with. Is that how you define business intelligence, Ken?
Yeah, you have it right on, John. It's basically getting data out of systems so that business users can make decisions based upon real live information as opposed to gut feel. And traditionally, there's really been two types of users in the government space. One has been kind of your more traditional back office operations where you're working with HR, personnel data, financial, budgeting and planning, and so forth. And the other type of business user in the government space has been more focused on the mission operations of a particular agency.
For example, interacting with citizens.
Correct. And it's actually, you know, kind of a new classification of business intelligence. You know, the Obama administration has been fantastic around their accountability and transparency initiative, and I have no political agenda here, but recently I was on data.gov, and I believe they have close to 400,000 data sets that the government has produced that are available to citizens. So, you know, I know in my personal life, I'm going on a trip in the near future, and you know, there's a lot of choices in the DC area as far as what airport to go to take that trip to Austin, Texas is where I'm going, or what airline. And the Department of Transportation produces statistics around on-flight arrivals. They even produce statistics around airports and the length of time it takes to wait for a taxi. So I use that data to actually make a decision on what airline to fly and what airport to fly out of. And I think this whole you know, new set of types of users, which is basically the public citizens, is now now available.
Dan, I want to ask you a strategic question here. We know that there's going to be an election here in 2012, and things may change here in 2013. In the commercial world, if you start a project with business intelligence, it's a 3-year project, you pretty much know what's going to happen from one end to the other. But federal IT professionals may have to start a project, and all of a sudden get jarred loose in the middle of it and recharge all the priorities. And all of a sudden, the concepts of business intelligence may change in a year. That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think even over the last couple years with the budget uncertainties that we've had, there's been a hesitation on the part of government agencies to really bite off those large projects or those large modernization projects. But what they've done is they've done smaller projects, and actually business intelligence is ripe for that. You can start with a very small project to gain traction and show its value, and then add on and add on and add on. I think the concept of the big bang theory of I'm going to create an enterprise data warehouse, so let's do a 5-year project. By the time you get to year 5, or even in this day and age, by the time you get to year 1, everything's changed. It kind of goes back to your original question before the break was, how do you change the tires in a car that's moving, you know, 80 miles an hour? You it may not be easy, but you're going to do it one tire at a time.
So most of guidance projects are within a year time frame, or what kind of blocks you look at typically?
It used to be very small, and especially in the commercial sector, we were doing like 3-month projects and 3-month projects and constantly selling and selling. In the government, we're doing a combination. So we get multi-year projects, but then once you build a system, there's the whole O&M aspect of it. So your operation and maintenance contracts, and we're seeing more and more 5-year contracts come out of that, or 5-year BPA. So it's sort of an open blanket purchase agreement, so they can kind of decide what they're doing piece by piece.
I think that's a reasonable approach. I don't know how else you can just jerk people around. I mean, the Obama administration is looking at changing some agencies around too. I mean, that would certainly change your data sets and the information you're trying to generate and make decisions based on that. We get back, we talk more about Guidant and maybe talk about Guidant's blog and more information about business intelligence. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, Senior Vice President at Guidant.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? This 2012, make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
Experience GW basketball in one of D.C.'s best college venues, the Colonials Club. As a member of the Colonials Club, you will enjoy a game day atmosphere that is unmatched in Washington area college basketball. Your philanthropic donation and loyal support for GW Athletics provides countless opportunities to our student athletes in pursuit of both their academic and athletic goals. Call 202-994-7325 to join the Colonials Club today and help raise high the Buff and Blue.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Jero Formulas.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Interested in boomboxes?
Yeah, I just got the iPhone 4S, and I want a docking system for when I'm at home.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio technology receives all the HD2, HD3 channels here in town and has iTunes tagging for your iPhone 4S.
Oh yeah, iTunes tagging is cool. Tag and buy songs you hear on HD radio stations.
Yep, and it's only $99.
Wow, $99 and works with iPhone 4S? Lead the way.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Well, we're going to keep looking at these romantic getaways here over the next month, I guess, but you might want to look at the winter romance package at the Woods Resort in nearby West Virginia. You get one night in the Evergreen Lodge there, plus a 50-minute couples massage for $219. This is good for January and February, so you can go early if you want. Check it out on page 9 of the January issue of Recreation News or at recreationnews.com.
What other getaways do you have for us?
Well, of course, we love getaways, as you know, and the three Cove Haven resorts in the Poconos are celebrating Valentine's Day every day in February. There are all sorts of special activities, and these are actually all-inclusive resorts, so you don't have to worry about anything other than getting yourself there. Recreation News readers get exclusive discounts. But you do need a special code, so see page 27 of the January Recreation News and take off for Cove Haven in the Poconos.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're speaking with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, Senior Vice President at Guidant. Before the break, we talked about business intelligence and gathering data. And if you'd like to gather more data on Guidant, you can go to their website and read a couple of their blogs. And the blogs are available at blog.guidant, G-U-I-D-E-N-T.com. All kinds of blogs. I guess you got a blog over there. Is that right, Ken?
Yeah, we've got all kinds of technical tips and tricks on that blog. Also on our website, we have a library of white papers and presentations all related to data warehousing and BI topics. Lots of great stuff on the website.
And I have a blog called Tech Tuesday, and I'll be blogging about this interview at Tech Tuesday blog and find all the dirty details about Dan and Ken and find out what we say in the breaks, which is nasty and terrible. But I'll mention that all in my blog as well. So we know Guidant's been very successful in the area of business intelligence. Are there new areas, Dan, where you see Guidant making inroads here in the next few years?
Yeah, over the last 3 years, we've been working on a product called VCAP, which is a compliance product. And we basically looked at that marketplace and said what it's really lacking is a BI solution. Since we're a BI company, we took BI to the security field. And so what it does is it helps you understand how you're doing with your compliance monitoring. So if you need to be FISMA compliant in the government, we can build that system that'll integrate into all your security systems and your hardware platforms, your provisioning systems, and then put all that up onto a dashboard, and then you can tell if you are compliant. So it's important to understand, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing, and they signed the paper 3 years ago that said I'm compliant, but can you really answer, as of right now, am I compliant?
And that's the transition I see at NIST, is maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they were, maybe it was even printed on paper. Are you compliant with this? Well, fine. We'll come back in 90 days. Well, guess what? Don't have that luxury anymore.
Yeah, it was actually, the standard was 3 years. And
whoa.
So if you ever worked on a system, they said, oh, yeah, we want to add more disk space to that, or we want to change and upgrade the operating system. They said, no, because then we have to go through this whole security process. It's going to take us like 3 months. It's all paper driven. And so then you enter in virtualization, and now you enter in cloud computing. So things are moving a lot faster. So how do you keep up with that? You can't even track where your virtualized machine is, on what blade it's on, where your disk is. And so this is one of those systems that's actually talking to the hardware, is reporting back. This is what they configured. This is where I am. This is where my virtual machine is.
You know, and I think that's typical. Many of my listeners are IT professionals, and their CIOs are twisting their arm, pushing them in the cloud. Of course, there's federal mandates to move everything to cloud. Well, what about, doing due diligence and making sure that you're compliant? I mean, this is a challenge I think everyone has, is continuous compliance.
Oh, absolutely. You can look at GSA to put it together. They're just rolling it out now, as a matter of fact, their FedRAMP program. And that's exactly what that is. It's a program so that they can have cloud providers and then have independent assessors come in and evaluate the cloud providers and say, yes, they are, FISMA compliant. And they went through the NIST standards and came up with, these are the things that we really care about. These are the ones that you need to have in the cloud because they're slightly different, and then put weighted values on them. So the problem you're still going to have from the government agency is your data. And so you're the one that's going to be ultimately held accountable should that data leak. So now I'm putting that data out in the cloud, and I have another party saying, yeah, it's secure, but at some point you still have to sign the paper that says, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm responsible for that data.
Right, and I've said many times in the air, I have friends who are federal IT professionals, and they're very serious and are very careful about signing any piece of paper unless they realize that it's going on. And I think the term compliance is this huge 50-volume term that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. For many of my listeners, compliance means compliance to security standards. But there's a whole world of compliance besides security, the whole world of compliance in the area of healthcare IT.
It's, you get into, like, there's FISMA compliance, and there's also, like, PII, so your personal information, and there's different standards set according to that. And so you end up with all these standards. One of the ways that we're looking at that is a lot of the checks and balances, a lot of things you're looking at are the same. And so they map across. And so instead of going out and saying I'm FISMA compliant, now I have to go and do my PI work, there's a lot of stuff that's the same.
Ken, let me ask you a question from a practical perspective. If we take a car and drive up to the folks at CMS in Baltimore, you'll find out there's 175 data centers with all these silos of information. And so you walk in there and they say, okay, Ken, let's generate some information to make business decisions on. I mean, that's got to be a challenge just in and of itself, all these disparate elements.
Yeah, actually, I think the data center aspect is just a technical aspect of integrating data. It doesn't really matter where the data resides. As long as you can get to the data, you can have an environment where you pull the data together and allow users to actually see the information. And whether that's at 175 different data centers or one data center, as long as you can access the data, then you're fine.
So is the concept of content intelligence fit in here, Ken, with comparing it to business intelligence with several different silos of information? Is that where content intelligence fits in?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're pulling the data, you're getting at the content, and you're, you know, the users are able to access it.
Good. Well, Dan, when you take a look at different types of data sets and data marts, where do you think the role of some of these appliances does fit in then? I mean, because Guidant is partners with Oracle, partners with IBM, partners with a wide range of companies, where do you think these appliances are going to fit in that are suddenly bursting in the market here in the last couple of years?
They what they're doing is they're replacing what used to be customized hardware. So you no longer need to spec out, what do I need this data warehouse server to look like? How much memory do I need to have on it? You're buying the appliance that's built for that.
What I see interesting is Oracle has a product that's coming out that uses off-the-shelf software, uses open-source software, which when I think of Oracle, I don't snap my fingers and think of open-source software typically. This is a whole new world for them, isn't it?
They've had open source software before. When they bought Sun, they acquired a lot of open source software. So they've done that before. So it's nothing new to them. It's what they're really looking for is, what is the best product set that I can put together for a solution, open source or not? You're seeing where the government before was reluctant to use open source because who's going to support it? But a lot of the open source software that we see today is in fact supported. So if you look at like all the Linux offerings that we have, that is in essence open source, but there's a lot of product, or there are a lot of companies behind that are supporting that.
And so, Ken, one of the strengths of Guidant is that you have a toolbox with many different tools in it. The tool may be the answer for a federal IT professional, may be Oracle, or it may be an open source product, or it may be something different. That's one of the strengths you have. Is that what you bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, to us, technology is an enabler. The Guidant's focus is very business-oriented, where we want to understand the business problem and be able to help agencies mature their requirements and their systems so that they can get at information and be able to really use information to not only analyze what's in the past, but to help predict what's in the future. So yes, we work with the SAP Business Objects toolset, the Oracle, IBM Cognos, and MicroStrategy. But to us, it's really an enabler, to help the business issue and to the customer.
So, Dan, where do you draw the line at Guidant between using some of the analytics that are offered by Oracle and the analytics that Guidant can provide, which really is probably it icing on the cake? Is it separate, distinct, or does it mesh with a lot of Oracle's offerings?
We don't really have our own software in the BI environment, so we are using and leveraging all the existing software. But when we go into an agency, a lot of it has to do, sometimes the agency has already decided what software they have. We try to stay out of the sales side on the software and really just look at, there's a lot of different factors you look at, not just the functionality, what they're going to use it for, but also what is their support set like? Do they have Oracle in-house, or do they have IBM in-house already? So those are more tangential kind of decisions they have to make.
So what Guidant can provide is almost an executive level of using the data that they have and how to use it more properly, and maybe what questions to ask of the data itself and how to make the switch into predictive analytics, which I see is kind of a seesaw or a teeter there. You know, you're right. Well, Ken spent the last 6 months here doing the business intelligence. Now we got to figure out what to do with it. And so can we still use Guidant for both?
I think what Ken was alluding to a little bit is about the technology being an enabler. Is it's really a business problem you're trying to solve. And so we have to go in there and understand what that business problem is before we can come up with what we believe is the best solution for them.
Great. We get back to a call about business intelligence and Guidant. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raphael, Senior Vice President at Guidant.
Hey, Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Thursday, February 9th against Lehigh at 7 p.m.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Whether it's warfighters on a mission, a payload that must reach orbit, or sensitive data on your network and in cyberspace, protection is absolutely critical. Fortunately, Kinetic North America is there to help you assure mission success. They partner with their customers to develop innovative technology solutions for the challenges of national defense, homeland security, and information access. Discover how they can help you protect what's important at QINETIQ-NA.com. When it's critical, it's Kinetic North America.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Officials at the Defense Information Systems Agency say they're seeing not just cost benefits from their new cloud-based enterprise email system, it's proving to be more defensible against cyber threats as well. DISA says having visibility across the entire email infrastructure it built for the U.S. Army is allowing it to quickly find and stop malware attacks that previously would have made their way through email systems unnoticed. The Army's moved about 30% of its users to the new system so far.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
With the new year comes resolutions, when we resolve to stop snacking and slacking, resolve to start reading and running. This year, resolve to help someone else too. Resolve to support the American Red Cross, because the Red Cross provides hope, help, and compassion not only during disasters, but every day. Resolve to do something that means something. Support the American Red Cross before the new year. Visit redcross.org today.
Agencies must move 3 IT systems to the cloud by mid-2012. Email and workplace collaboration applications are among the most popular early choices, with a number of agencies already successfully moving to web-based email. Which agencies are leading the way? What can other federal employees learn from their experience? Tune in to Federal News Radio Tuesday, January 31st at noon to hear answers to these questions and learn how agencies are taking advantage of the cloud. January 31st, noon, on Federal News Radio, sponsored by Google.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Chain the studio, we have Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Rafel, Senior Vice President at Guidant, been talking about business intelligence and how that works with federal agencies. And if you'd like to follow these fellows on you have a Twitter feed, Ken? I don't know if you, does your company do or...
The company does, and Dan does, so I'll let Dan answer this question.
Yeah, so what's your Twitter feed, Dan, for the
Mine is D. Ackerm, A-C-K-E-R-M.
A-R-M-A-N.
No A-N, because that was taken. There's a Dan Ackerman that works for, what is it, CNET or something like that?
A-C-K-E-R-M-A.
No, just D-A-C-K-E-R-M, but I'm not very active on that, so it's out there, but mostly just retweet what Guidant puts up.
Okay, we'll do that. And my Twitter feed is at Ray Gilray, because my name was taken too. I had to come up with something good. So at Ray Gilray is kind of easy to mention. Well, this is a segment of the show where people scratch their heads trying to figure out who's the real nerd in the studio here. And I get to ask the questions and find out. So, Ken, you're up to bat first here. We're going to see if you're actually a card-carrying nerd or not. So when was your first computer, Ken?
The first time I remember using a computer was 1985.
Ooh, for a young fella, that's pretty early. You must have been in diapers or something. That was pretty
not
young.
That young. Not that young. I wish.
Your first cell phone?
I believe that was in the late 90s, in 1998, say.
Okay. And you don't have a Twitter feed then? And do you have a kind of a company blog, so that counts as a blog. And do you use any online backups or personal backup?
I do not.
What kind of a smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Well, that's points. And how many apps do you have on it?
I would say about 50.
Well, that's a weak, but that's okay. Do you have a tablet device?
Another weak answer, John. The answer is no, but my wife does.
No. You're losing nerd points. You're losing nerd points here drastically. What social networking sites do you participate in?
Facebook, LinkedIn.
Okay, it's standard. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
You're so close. I mean, you started off with 85. That was great, but a little weak. We'll have to see if old Dan can beat you on the nerdometer scale here. So, Dan, your first computer.
The first time I used a computer was in 81. It was the old teletype where you literally had to put the handset of the phone into the little foam.
300 baud?
Yeah, 300 baud, yeah.
EPS, I know that very well.
My first computer I owned wasn't until the early 90s.
Okay. Your first cell phone?
I think it was 94, 95. It was one of those old bag phones that had the big like VCR battery in it.
You get the big biceps.
carrying it around.
That's good. And you have a Twitter feed we talked about earlier. And you have a specific blog or just a company blog?
I do not, just a company blog.
Okay. And what kind of online personal backup do you use? Dropbox or anything like that?
No, actually, I haven't used any of those other than I think iCloud kind of got converted over from what I was using before. But I just put together an 8-terabyte backup system at home, so trying to switch to online is a little difficult.
8 terabytes for home?
Yeah.
Well, that's got some nerd points there, buddy.
Yeah,
Let me tell you something.
A little bit of a junk collector there in the digital field.
Type a smartphone?
iPhone.
Okay. And number of apps on your iPhone?
About 100, 120, somewhere around there.
Good points. Tablet device?
Yes, many.
A couple of them.
I have a couple of iPads. I use them for different things. And then I also keep a Kindle around because I like to read in the sun, and you can't do that on the iPad.
And I know you're on LinkedIn, also on Facebook?
Yes, and also on Foursquare, a new one for you.
Okay. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was paper. Actually, kind of both. I got like 3 paper books and 2 electronic books I'm reading. So
I'm going to have to put these calculations through my UNIVAC computer at home with the big, the big bulbs and everything in there and come up and see who's going to win on this nerdometer scale. But kind of interesting answers. I'm always fascinated by first experiences with computers that people had. 1981. Yeah, that's they used to have stores in downtown D.C. selling K-Pros and all kinds of strange machines like the Radio Shack,
the TRS-80
in 1980. I remember that real well. That's how old I am. Well, if I look back in time, I see all kinds of strange machines from back in 1980 with names like Videc and Quix and Quip and all that stuff. But if we try to look forward here, Dan, many of my listeners are getting their budgets pulled back. I mean, come on, doesn't take a crystal ball to know that. So they're asked to do more with less. They have fewer people. They're trying to maximize what existing resources they have now. Where do you see Guidant helping out people in these situations? I mean, this sounds like a bad position to be in.
Right. From the BI side, that answer is pretty easy because where are you spending your money now? And what are you getting for that money? Those are BI type questions. So we can analyze analyze and forecast by making these changes. This is what your budget would look like. From the IT side, a lot of the agencies we're seeing are modernizing. They're trying to reduce their operation and maintenance costs. That's typically 80% of their IT budget is keeping the lights on, and that's a little high. So trying to figure out how do I, if I have all these silos of systems that are all built at different times on different platforms, trying to maintain all those is difficult. So the concept of modernizing is I'm going to go in there, I'm going to come with one platform, and that, and with the amount of data we're keeping electronically, you're seeing the merging of these systems. So it's a little gray where they used to transfer from one system to the other. Now they're doing that with the, where the data is stored centrally and the applications are accessing the data they need.
Now, when people talk about data collecting, inevitably the new buzz term is big data. Ken, where does big data start? Where does big data end? Is there like a specific marker in the wall you can say, okay, here's where big data starts, here's where it doesn't end?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Dan talked earlier about unstructured data and, you know, going through your test with Facebook and LinkedIn and all the social networking sites, there is just more and more data that's out there, especially in the intelligence agencies where they want to analyze around law enforcement and in intelligence, you know, what's going on and how to catch the bad guys, right? So big data is kind of the buzzword to gather all this structured and unstructured data in order to do that.
So it's not necessarily size of the data, it's maybe type of data?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, certainly the volumes of data are becoming massive because of all this unstructured data that didn't necessarily exist before. So it's kind of a combination of the size of data and also the types of data that needs to be analyzed.
I studied statistics as an undergraduate, but I wasn't an A student, and that's for sure. But I do know that many times with large populations, you can get an accurate sampling by dipping in and getting a fair sampling. Politicians do it all the time with voters. Do you think that the way big data is going to work is they're going to know they're going to have to collect every single piece of data, or are they going to start sampling more and more, and is that a valid approach in the future?
I think they're looking more for trending, trying to look at the data and seeing this is the way we're trending, not so much for specific, more, you know, statistical or scientific type data from that.
It just gets more and more difficult, doesn't it? I mean, all of a sudden you have to go back to your statistics books and figure out what a fair sample is and what isn't, and how can you make decisions on that, and what about that with 5% wiggle room in there? Some organizations can't afford 5% or 2% or 1%.
When they're talking about quality, one of the things they talk about is, you know, it's like 2,000 planes land per hour or something like that, per day at O'Hare Airport. What's your fault that you're going to allow? It's not like 0.0001%, right? So yeah. It really depends on your line of business that you're in as to how important and how accurate that data needs to be.
Yeah, that plane that Ken's on, we'll let that one crash. Who cares? That's the 0.001. He's the one in there. Well, Ken, where do you see this whole idea of business intelligence changing and altering in the next 4 or 5 years here?
Yeah, so I think we talked about a lot of those topics. Mobile is definitely one. Predictive analytics, where you're not just looking at the past, but you're coming up with models to help understand the future. I think there'll be more and more of publishing data to the public. And then Dan mentioned cost containment and using the data to do more with less.
But just having that data, that's the challenge in of itself, I think, and try to do something plagued with and using the right tools, whether it's a tool from Oracle, whether it's a data appliance, whether it's an open source software solution, that might be where guidance can fit in with helping people with these massive amounts of data in the future.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's changed over the years is that people now have data that they didn't have, right? You know, we talked about the paper-based processes that are now automated. You know, BI was new a few years ago, and it's not necessarily new. So now it's more maturing agencies' environments so that they can do more. You know, they can have dashboards and understand key performance metrics and so forth.
Business intelligence more than just a dashboard. I think that's a slogan for today's interview. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, and Ken Raffel, Senior Vice President at Guidant. Thanks, gentlemen.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.